your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to Alchemy. Joining me today, Dan Hirsch, co-founder at Data Owl. Dan, always a pleasure and great to have you on Alchemy today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Excited to be here. Yeah, I've listened to a number of your podcasts. They've been fascinating. Hopefully I can live up to your other guests in terms of providing some good information to your followers.
Absolutely. And I think we've got timing-wise, you know, really good time for us to connect just because there's been so much happening in the space in the last 6 months, and you're kind of at the forefront of a lot of these changes. So I think just to, you know, start off the show, and for everyone listening in, Data Owl really is the industry's, you know, first fully automated cannabis customer management, engagement, and customer experience engine. And you know, Dan, your background and your career is quite interesting. And you know, you were at AOL all the way back in the early days. You and I are actually probably around the same age, but I got a kick out of that. And you were also the president at Roxy, and you were the CEO at Rue Healthcare. And I thought it'd be fun just, you know, starting off the show, like, one, how you guys came up with the concept of Data Owl, and really talk to us about the current business.
Sure. So, you know, I had the unique experience of being at AOL in the early days of the internet, which gave me broad exposure. And I worked on a number of business areas, including healthcare, actually. Launched AOL Health, which led to WebMD, among other things. So I had early experience with consumer engagement around health information. Later in my career, after I left AOL, I continued working with Steve Case at Revolution, and we went into the wellness space. We had an asset called Miraval, which is a health wellness resort, and it was really about proactively taking care of your health. In terms of traditional Western medicine, is very reactive. When you get hurt, go see your doctor, versus so much chronic illness is driven by decisions you made a long time ago. And so Miraval was about, you know, making proactive health care of yourself a key component of lifestyle. After I left Miraval, among other things, I ended up running and owning a company that does supplements for chronic diseases. Specifically, we focused on chronic kidney disease and also cardiology. And we made products for healthcare professionals, doctors, hospitals, and things like that to help manage those conditions, specifically, again, on the supplement side. So you have very specific restrictions that may apply to you if you have chronic kidney disease on what you can eat, and it leads to various deficiencies. And so through that process, I ended up working with pretty much every nephrology practice in the United States. And I was introduced in that time to my co-founder, who in a parallel activity was had built and was running a company that did non-surgical, non-narcotic treatment for peripheral neuropathy. And the biggest cause of peripheral neuropathy is diabetes. So we saw an interesting opportunity to take his platform and collaborate with all these nephrology practices who have all these diabetic patients, many of whom the traditional treatments like Cymbalta, Lyrica weren't working for. And that's really how I got to know Vartan. While Vartan was doing that, he also was deeply involved in the passage of the Medical Marijuana Act in Arizona, Prop 203. He was part of the group that got it approved. And from that, he participated in the dispensary license lottery here in Arizona and was lucky enough to end up with a license. And so he was a part owner in a dispensary, you know, vertically integrated operation here in Arizona. And he and I, as we were working together, were talking a lot about the deep data-rich environment in the cannabis industry and also a lot of the complexities of marketing this product because of its regulatory considerations, its healthcare-related components. And so as we began to talk about that, we were really kind of, I was drawing from some of my experience at AOL and then later Time Warner and how we approached marketing analytics. And it seemed a very ripe environment to produce some tools. And that's really how I got involved early. And it led us to spin up a very basic product to see if a tool like text messaging would be compelling to dispensaries as a way to interact with their customers, because many traditional channels like social media had a lot of limitations. We went out and talked to a handful of potential prospects here in Arizona, about 20, 19 of them said, can we sign up today? So we had an idea there was probably a need for something like this.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So, you know, I think from a, you know, a business perspective, talk to us a little bit about all the different ways that you guys are actually helping dispensary owners.
Absolutely. So when we started, obviously, we started focusing on the texting piece, but my experience with AOL and Time Warner, you know, early digital media, one of the things that we all have learned is the higher the relevancy, the higher the effectiveness of that interaction. And this industry provides an awful lot of information about these, about the patients and customers. And so if they want to sign up to receive promotional content, you can make it incredibly personalized and individualized based on exactly how and when and why those customers are shopping and what they shop for. Driving higher relevancy to that individual person, of course, drives higher take rates. And I'll give you two quick examples of what I mean by relevancy. One might be a person who shops infrequently and buys larger quantities doesn't need to hear from you all the time. You want to look at their shopping pattern and engage them close to when it looks like they should be shopping again. Because if you over-communicate with them, you basically become annoying in a sense. It's, you know, like your annoying little brother. Actually, I was that person, right? I pester my brother all the time. Same thing applies to consumers. And the second concept is product typing and what they're buying is also relevant. If someone doesn't use any smokable products, then you really want to talk to them about things like edibles. And that combination proved to be incredibly powerful. So we built machine learning tools to mine that information and make it very simple for our dispensary operators to automatically target very narrow cohorts. And that's really where we started. From there, we learned a lot of things working with our dispensary partners, including, of course, inventory challenges publishing inventory in this industry. So we created a tool that allows you to publish and normalize that data out of your POS or ERP system in a way where it's appropriate for various consumer-facing distribution channels, from e-commerce to in-store menus to third-party listing services. So that was sort of the second area. And the third big area came from some of my experience, again, going back to my AOL and Time Warner days. I worked also with the travel industry very closely. And the travel industry suffers from a very fungible type of product. In the end, a flight on one airline or another generally gets you from point A to point B in a pretty similar way. And so airlines rely heavily on very sophisticated and well thought out loyalty programs to really focus on that. I'm going to call it, you know, 20% of their customers who drive roughly 80% of their business. And that thought process and building out loyalty led to the last component, which is adding a e-commerce front end solution set for our customers, because one of the other learnings from the travel industry was you really wanted to reward your customers for coming to you directly rather than encouraging them to go to third-party listing services. Because, of course, as soon as you go to a Kayak or any of those places, you're now really just comparing price versus the other aspects of your business. And so the airlines, hotels do it as well. They've learned, order from me directly and I'm going to give you all of your, if you will, loyalty member benefits. If you order through discount third-party listing areas, you may not get those benefits. And we really saw a similar need evolving in this industry. And so that's kind of how we came to the place we are, giving a integrated, comprehensive suite of tools that can be mixed and matched as needed by each individual dispensary operator. So we really come at it specifically from the needs of the retailer.
So, you know, Dan, I was actually really excited to talk to you. Just, you know, obviously we've all been dealing with a little bit of not so normal conditions from a business standpoint the last 6 months or so. But, you know, you guys obviously really allow dispensaries to, you know, not just integrate online and in-store shopping experiences, but, you know, also order fulfillment and all that good stuff. And I'm just curious from a business perspective for you guys, because you are so integrated and tied in to a lot of these dispensaries, have you guys had to adapt at all, you know, during the pandemic? Like, is there something that you guys really had to reallocate or relook at, you know, how the business was running because of the, let's just say, large shift to, let's just say, online?
Definitely. A number of things came out of it for us in terms of short-term urgent needs of customers. So a remote check-in kind of tool. So when curbside pickup, or still to this day in many markets, they're limiting how many people can come through the dispensary. We just made a very simple way for the dispensary when after they tell the customer their order is ready to come on to the dispensary, it includes a link where that customer can tell them when they've arrived. And then the dispensary can interact one-on-one with that person to say, it's your turn to come in, or, you know, pull to parking slot 3 and we'll bring out your order. So that was a quick and urgent need of many of our customers that we put in place. The second thing that really came up, you touched on, is e-commerce. The needs in the e-commerce space changed. For, you know, historically, for a variety of reasons, e-commerce was, you know, made up maybe 10% of the revenue of most our operators, in part because customer engagement with the bud tenders in the dispensaries is part of that experience. For a whole slew of reasons. They're educational, informational experts. Also, you know, having spent a lot of time in a lot of dispensaries, a lot of the relationships between the patients or customers and the bud tenders also, it's a little bit, might remind you of the relationship you might have with, you know, the person who cuts your hair. If they build a rapport. And so it changed that interaction. And so the combination for us led to a great uptick in e-commerce activity. For a moment in time, it had swelled to nearly 100% in almost every market when people couldn't go into the dispensaries at all. So you had to order online. It's tailed back, and it's, you know, closer to 40-50% of activity now, depending on the market, once they opened it up. And what it told you is customers still really appreciate that individual interaction that hasn't been lost yet on this industry. The product still, for any number of reasons, have customers wanting to go inside and talk to somebody.
So, you know, Dan, I talk to like tons of different MSOs and SSOs every single day. It's someone new, and, you know, listening to their marketing journeys and what they want to do. And I hear a lot of people, a lot of marketers, especially at the dispensaries, talking about, you know, wanting to create customized loyalty programs. And so I'm just curious, that's something you guys do. Like, how exactly does it work? And I think for people listening in too, like, if they wanted to do a customized loyalty program for their dispensary, one, what does it take to do it? And two, how does it improve the impact of actual sales?
Great question. And so we built our loyalty tool based on a lot of the experience I had from, and you know, really the travel industry, who's been very smart about this. And, you know, mm-hmm. one of the early adopters of the much more sophisticated type of loyalty approach than, you know, say restaurants, you know, the punch card, right? Buy 10, your 11th bagel is free or whatever. That's not really how the travel industry works. And so we created a lot of flexibility to design highly tailored programs. And the elements include things like tiering. Again, we're all familiar with it if we've flown. Better rewards the more you do, and they stay with you. So they can pick and choose how they want that structure to work. They also have tools to be able to do rewards for specific types of things, like, of course, so many of these operators have some products that are their own. So they may want to give incremental incentives to, you know, or loyalty rewards to buy particular brands that might be house brands. We give them tools to do that. And then, of course, they often want to manage behaviors. especially pre-coronavirus, where there was incredible surge behavior in terms of when people came to shop. Friday afternoon at 5, right? Dispensaries had huge lines. So now you could use loyalty tools to encourage people to order at different times, maybe drive them to e-commerce. So order by one on Friday and get X percent off, because that pre-order improves workflow for the dispensaries. So we give them great flexibility in terms of how they want to reward people. We have a lot of information on you know, what best practices might look like and ratios and things like that to use. But we give them a great deal of control to create a very customized approach to the way they want to use their loyalty programs. We've seen excellent results from it in terms of, you know, we look at a few metrics that are important when you think about, are these things working? Retention rate, repeat customer rate, you know, annual value. And both loyalty, and we'll touch on messaging, have big impacts on those. And they were, in fact, increased in terms of percentage of business associated with your loyalty customers, for example, in the time of this new era we're in. And I mean, to give you just some data points, we've found that in terms of retention, about 2.5 times the retention rate if you can get them enrolled and engaged in your loyalty program. That's really meaningful. And over 2x the annual spend as well. And so you're talking about, you know, customers who average, you know, a typical non-loyalty member may spends on average about $340 a year when I look nationally. And a loyalty customer on average nationally is spending over $600 annually. That's a big impact to these dispensaries. We see very similar things on the messaging side if it's done well as well.
So one thing that I did want to ask you too, along the lines of that, you know, obviously smart messaging is huge, but also as people are giving up information, you know, it comes up to data. So, you know, leveraging data, you know, obviously can help dispensaries and brands really, you know, provide a better program, provide better service and products and all of that good stuff. But I wanted to ask you in particular, like, what's the value of big data in the cannabis space as a whole?
Sure. The value of big data is, you know, we're at the, as we, you know, all like to say, right, we're at the tip of this learning process and opportunity. But the value of big data is massive. On a small scale, as a dispensary operator, we are beginning now, early in the period of coronavirus, we didn't see this, but we are definitely seeing it now, probably because some of the stimulus is expired and things, a trading down of product purchasing. So people who are buying top shelf flour are buying popcorn. We're really seeing that. And so a good example of data value for an operator might be inventory selection and mix is shifting based on basically, I think, shrinking wallets. So that's one way to think about it. Of course, another way when we talk about smart messaging is, as I mentioned earlier, really individually targeted communication, especially now when you have less chance to communicate because they're not in your dispensary, that value is incredibly high. And on a broader scale basis, these trends can really help inform broader acquisition marketing thought processes, because, of course, cannabis is just a component of who these patients and consumers are. And so, like many other industries, these consumers can and patients, when you paint a rich profile of them using some of their behavior in terms of cannabis consumption, but also appending other things about them well beyond just age and demographic, becomes very rich and valuable. Also opportunities to, again, engage people in a far more personal way.
Totally. I think, you know, just from being in the space right now, and, you know, you and I both have similar backgrounds, like all of us entrepreneurs, we kind of come from the digital marketing world at one point or another before moving into cannabis. And, you know, one thing that has been very interesting is, you know, cannabis data in particular, you know, has really this incredible ability to tell mainstream traditional brands, you know, new information about their customers that they didn't know. And so I'm curious from you, like, how do you think cannabis and even non-cannabis, more traditional brands, you know, can synergize this kind of, you know, progressive movement into the future? I think a lot of brands right now just, they weren't aware that this data existed. And now that it's there, they're like, whoa, that's my customer too. How do I utilize that?
That's absolutely right. And, you know, it's like, as you said, we've been in digital media where data has always been important. You know, I think the shift is cannabis was, you know, before, if you will, in the shadows. And the picture of the cannabis user was, I don't know, some version of Cheech and Chong, right? Yeah. And so that wasn't something that an advertiser could think about. But this new world of cannabis, the cannabis consumer is very likely, and, you know, we have lots of data about this, and of course, you know well with what you're doing, it's a 35-year-old professional who's a hardcore long-distance road biker who eats out twice a week at nice restaurants and is a healthy eater the rest of the week while they're working, you know, going and getting things like salads and whatever. Well, now that starts to sound like a lot of other people. And the cannabis piece is relevant because it paints a more robust, broader view of this person. Obviously, more understandings of this person, and really think of it as another kind of cohort where your messaging now can embrace, in essence, what I would describe as a healthy, active lifestyle that includes cannabis in it, much the same way the alcohol industry has perspectives of the, you know, if you think about products like the ultra low carb beers, of course, mm-hmm. we've all seen that advertising appealing to a customer very similar to who I just described. And so, you know, whether it's a beer company or a outdoor company or an activity company or the travel industry, that ability to communicate and actually embrace consumers who in fact have incorporated cannabis in one way, shape, or form into their lifestyle and make messaging that is emotionally aligned with that type of consumer is a huge opportunity, because in the past, this was all in the shadows.
Yeah. Well, I think also what you were saying before, it's like when people think about, you know, folks who buy flower or smoke joints or whatever it is, they're thinking that Cheech and Chong stoner, but the reality is, with more and more states becoming legal, with more and more states having, you know, medical programs, it's a massive population of people who are using this both for health purposes, for recreational purposes, you know, entrepreneurs, businessmen, government officials, right? It's like, it's just like taking a holistic supplement or natural remedies, right? It's embedded in our culture now. And I think, you know, you and I both know this, but, you know, we're out there educating the world that this exists and, you know, big movement happening right now. So it's good to see all of this really starting to come together. And, you know, whether you're a CPG brand like Kimberly-Clark or P&G and Unilever, or, you know, you're a large MSO CPG like a Cresco or Curaleaf, right? It's all the same at the end of the day, right?
Absolutely. Understanding your customer and figuring out how to reach them and emotionally connect with them is always, you know, key.
Absolutely. Well, listen, you guys are doing some great stuff in the space and, you know, really great working with you guys. You know, keep up all of the great work. And I think I'd love to have you back on the show in a couple of months again and really talking about the trends, you know, that are unfolding as we're going into 2021, kind of before, during, and after the pandemic.
And we have some great data on that. We've been tracking it since the beginning and what were the change in behaviors. So I'd love to come back, Jeff, and share some of that, because we'll have some interesting trends, I think, if you think about it in three segments. And that's kind of how we're seeing it. There was the surge window at the beginning. Then there's been sort of this period for the last few months. And we're going to see, I think, some interesting evolutionary changes again through the end of the year here as we, you know, settle in now to what's next. You know, not just in this industry, but in overall, you know, in the economy and all of the things that we're well aware are going on.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much. Dan Hirsch, co-founder at DataL. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. It was great.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.